This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Gil Dierman and Lakeshore Christian Fellowship in TKK, South Carolina. For more information, visit us online at lakeshorecf.com.
That. If you brought a Bible, open it up to two passages. Romans chapter 5, we've been carrying a theme verse with us. We're going to look at it. I'm going to show you a couple more things about that today. Then we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 4 and spend some more time there. Last week, we started a message that we entitled Choosing God's Word. Talked about the importance of it and the real impact. I don't mean just spiritually or inspirationally or, you know, in our emotions. I mean boots on the ground. This is real-time impact, measurable, tangible, financial, relational, physical stuff that God ties directly to our spending time and feeding on and getting in the Word of God. And of course, we're in a series called Choices, and we've been focusing on the fact that although God is clear in the Bible, it never deviates. I mean, you can study it from cover to cover. God is clear that He has a wonderful plan, that He's given these great and precious promises, that His heart is for you, not against you, that He thinks about you, and they're not critical, condemning thoughts, quite the opposite. They're thoughts of love and of graciousness and of mercy, wanting to see you be all that He ever planned for you to be. However, it also is clear and consistent in the Bible that your ability to experience that, this is not God making decisions now, this is your willingness to receive it, to choose, to experience it, is directly hinged on your leaning in and discovering and accepting and then partnering with what God has planned for you. And so we've been talking about that. Now, we found a really great focal point. In fact, I would say it's a hinge in the New Testament. And we've been renewing our mind layer after layer, line upon line, precept upon precept from Romans 5:17. And it's talking to us about this right to choose. We get to decide what kind of life that we live. Now, God's already laid this out, and we're going to see it today in more extravagance and more abundance than you can possibly understand. So many Christians understand salvation in that we're forgiven of sins so that we can go to heaven one day, and then it's going to be awesome. They've just not at all open their heart to the idea that it's supposed to be extravagantly and abundantly awesome now. And there's a really important reason for that. It's not just for your enjoyment. It's not just so that you can begin to experience the love of a heavenly Father. It's also so that other people who don't know anything about God or who think He's really critical and He's a hard taskmaster and He's constantly noticing your mess ups and He might just, you know, kind of turn His head so you can slip into the back door of heaven so they can see differently and say, no, that's not true at all. That's not at all what Jesus came for. So we've been looking at Romans 5:17. Let me just read it in your hearing, and I want to point a couple of quick things out, but we're going to use this to build a base because I want to show you something that's going to be so practical and so relevant, but it'll open you up to keep understanding what we're trying to get across in this series. Romans 5:17, for if by the one man's offense, again, that's talking about Adam, death reigned through the one, how much more those who, listen, receive, those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life. In other words, you get to be in charge. You get to make your decisions instead of being limited and pushed around and knocked around by the challenges and the things that are going on in the world. It says you will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Now, let me just kind of point some out. We're not going to teach on it, but I want you to carry it with you as we move forward. How many of you understand that there's a biblical principle? It's found in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through 9, and it says God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Even the world knows that. They kind of phrase it different. What goes around comes around. You reap what you sow. And they kind of borrow here and there. But everybody knows that. It's not a secret. Everybody understands and gets that. Okay? Here's what we don't always understand as a Christian. When you become a Christian, before you can sow, you have to first reap. Well, that doesn't make any sense. whatever man sows, that will he also reap. Yes, but you start as a Christian like you do as a little infant baby, you have nothing to sow. You have to receive, you have to take what someone else has sown first, and then you use that as a base. Now you can begin to sow, begin to work this, grow, develop, mature, and then you can take those opportunities and those resources, and you can watch life begin to blossom for you. In the kingdom, if you're ever going to recognize how this works, you got to learn to reap or receive first. Jesus did all the sowing. And this is what it says here. It says, in the same way that Adam had everything given to him, and then he lost it all. In the same way, Jesus came and purchased all of it back and turned around and gave it to you. But so many Christians never receive the abundance of grace. Here's what you don't realize. It's already yours. I mean, that's a done deal. It's not being decided in heaven. It's not, well, I don't know, should we? No, it's already been yours. Warehouse after warehouse after warehouse after warehouse has been already registered in your name, designated, set to the side for the plan of God for your life if you choose to acknowledge it and begin to tap into it. In fact, I was thinking about these two phrases this week, and let me just show you something. I really need to move on, but this is important. Lays a foundation for where we're headed, okay? He says that we need to receive the abundance of grace, the abundance of grace. The word abundance in the Greek is a fascinating word. It's parousia, and it means more than just the standard, more than just kind of enough, more than just the regular. In fact, this means not just a little more, it means exceedingly more. It means like in super surplus, extraordinarily more. In fact, when we read anything that says abundance, especially in the New Testament, when we read that in connection with God, we need to understand he doesn't just say, I'm giving you grace. He says, I'm giving you abundant grace, but it's not the kind of abundant grace you and I think. It's exceedingly and abundantly more than you ever asked or thought. We could literally say superabundance, superabundance. Here's the truth. The moment you became a Christian, you're a little baby in Christ, and your heavenly Father's got you, isn't he cute? And he's showing you around the kingdom. You've been given an inheritance that has more grace than you can possibly spend in 100 lifetimes. It belongs to you already. Now, when we get to heaven, Ephesians says God's going to spend the rest of eternity opening those vaults up and letting you see what's available to you. But for now, you need to recognize who you already are. This is what you already have. It's an abundance of grace. But not only that, he said an abundance of grace, but also receive the gift of righteousness. That's your access pad. That's your PIN number. That's your debit card. That's your ability to step in and to access what already belongs to you. Not begging that God would give you something. Not hoping that God will do something. Recognizing that Ephesians 1:3 says he's already given you every blessing in heavenly places. All of them. All of them. They already belong to you. But when you begin to realize he also gave you the right to access those, he qualified you. Jesus paid that for you. And when you receive that, not based on your own behavior, not based on your own merits, just because you were born into his family and you carry his name, you qualify. It all belongs to you already. In fact, he says the free gift of righteousness. The word free, there's another really interesting word. We get free, right? But the word free here means that it's the kind of gift that there's literally no explanation. There's no justification. There's no rationalization why that gift would be given. It's completely untethered to anything. We know that God so loved the world. We just don't know why. It's free. It makes no sense. It's like for someone to come and bring you an extravagant gift. You're like, what's this for? I don't know. I was just thinking about you. God carries this love in his heart for us. He carries this generosity, this willingness, this desire for us to be able to tap in and access, and not one time at any point in our life, once we accept him, ever feel like, I'm stuck. I just don't have enough. I just can't. I don't have the opportunity. Oh, no, you've been given every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Every one. All you need in an abundance. You couldn't spend it all in 100 lifetimes if you tried. And it's free. It makes no rational sense. Here's the reason you need to know that. Because when you get those thoughts running through your mind, like, I don't know if I could talk to God about that because I don't deserve that, which you should and you probably do every time. I do. Every time I come to the Lord, hold on, Gil, there's still things you're working on. You know you don't deserve that. And I've learned over the years through studying the Word of God and renewing my mind to come back with a quick response. You are absolutely right, I don't deserve that. But Jesus does. And he purchased it for me. And it would be dishonoring to him if I didn't receive and begin to access those things that he paid such a precious price for. Why would I leave those on the table when he gave his blood so that I could access them? The most honoring thing I could do is to live in the blessing, to live in the abundance of grace that God has so richly provided because he worked really hard for this. And so you move forward in this free grace. Now, here's important, because the Bible says not when you know about it, not when you hear it preached, but when you begin to lean in and you receive the abundance of grace, you begin to recognize, okay, so he just gave it to me. I mean, it's awesome. I don't even know how to wrap my head around it, but the Bible is clear from cover to cover. It belongs to me right now. And you begin to receive the gift of access, the right to go and tap into that. When you begin to receive that, something starts changing. I mean, the moment you begin to recognize that, the moment it dawns on you, then something changes, it snaps inside, and you realize, I don't have to live like this then. I don't have to put up with that. I don't have to be limited by that. And you'll begin to reign in life, to make your own decisions and your own choices, and you'll learn to do it through a relationship with Jesus Christ. This is so important, and I really want you to understand how real time this is. I'm not making this up. I'm not just trying to inspire and encourage you. This is reality. This is how the world's working right now and will work all the way until Jesus comes back. It's your choice. And it's an abundant, extravagant choice. The hardest thing you're going to wrestle with is realizing just how good and how gracious and how generous God is. I mean, that's going to be hard for you. Some of you think, well, I deserve this much. But you don't recognize how much he's already given. Boy, the moment you do, and you can shift that access over on, it's because of what Jesus did, not because of what you did. I'm telling you, something begins to change inside. Your confidence level goes through the roof. And so we're going to talk about that today. Now, we also looked at Proverbs chapter 4. You can turn there now because we're going to spend the rest of the time dancing around that passage. Proverbs chapter 4, New King James version begins in verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Why? For or because? And here's where we're going to begin to focus again today. Because they, the words, the sayings, are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. I'm going to say something now, but I'm going to repeat it again later. At least that's my plan. You don't find abundance. You don't find great relationships. You don't find fulfillment in life. You don't find all those things by looking to those things. You find them when you look to the Word of God. I'm not saying you can't find a measure, but not the whole package, not life to the full like Jesus talked about. You don't get to have that. But here it says, if you will find the words of God, they will bring life to those who find them. Let me just highlight again, this word life here in the Hebrew literally means to live. But it also includes to be restored to life and to keep on living, not just in the standard, but remember what we saw in Romans chapter 5. It means to keep living a life that is prospering, to keep living a life that is experiencing success, to keep living a life that is growing in its vibrancy, not without challenge. The Bible's honest with us. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him from all of them. So when it says you'll find life, you'll find this life that keeps growing. In other words, it points to the duration of life. It's talking about long life. but it's also talking about the quality of life. This is what is described in the New Testament as eternal life. I know that some of you think eternal life starts when you get up there. Nope, eternal life started the moment you got born again. You began to live this growing, prosperous, ever-increasing, ever more vibrant life. You just can't do it in this physical body. But inside, and as much as you can experience here tangibly, you should be growing and moving forward, not without challenge, not without some maturing effort. There's no question about it. The moment you get born again, new life, eternal blossoming, eternal life begins, and you should experience that all the way through the cessation of life here, and then you get to heaven, and it jump starts to a whole nother level. It's not just there, it's here too. Jesus described it this way in John 10. He said, I came so that you can have life and have it to the full. That's that super abundance. But not only that, Proverbs 4:22 went on and said, it's not just you'll find life in the words of God, you'll find health. Well, that's kind of interesting because that's included. It's included in life. It's included in this vivacious, this vibrant, this flourishing life. He didn't really need to say that. It's included. But here's what you find all over the Bible, and it's always been so interesting to me. It's like God doesn't want us to minimize the component that comes and speaks to our physical healing. And so since that's something that challenges us harder than most anything else, when we're feeling sick or we feel the symptoms or we have the doctor's report and some of these things are grim, over and over in the Bible, instead of just stating and allowing life to kind of fill itself out so you understand, he attaches physical healing and physical health to life. Almost like, I really don't want you to miss this one, so I'm going to go ahead and repeat this again. Psalm 103, who forgives all of your sins and heals all of your diseases. I mean, he does this all over the Bible, and so you can go track that, and it's so interesting to me that he keeps repeating. But here, if we look at the term health, when it says health to all your flesh, the literal Hebrew term doesn't mean just experiencing, you know, you feel good and things are going right. It literally is the term where we get to heal, to make healthy, to mend or to cure. In fact, one of the best, most clearest scriptures in its literal term is in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. It's the back half of the verse, and it literally is God talking. He says, I am the Lord who heals you. That word heals is the same word. So here's what the Lord's saying. It's really not a matter of where your health is now. It's a matter of you being able to access and allow God to step in and bring you up to speed where you're supposed to be as his child. I mean, these are Bible realities. I'm not making this stuff up. I'm just kind of peeling all the clutter away from it and all the cultural interpretations and just getting back to the Word of God. And this is what the Bible says. So Proverbs 4 is really clear that he wants us to live an abundant, a healthy, a fruitful, fulfilling life. I just dare you to try and go and interpret it another way. It's not there. But let me back you up because it's not the first time he mentioned it. Solomon mentioned it, the same scenarios a chapter earlier in Proverbs chapter 3. So you can turn there. It's just a page or two to your left if you want to. But let me just read it for you. Verse 13. He says, happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. Now, let me clarify a little bit. Wisdom is what to do. I don't know what to do. I just kind of got to get some wisdom on that. That's just what to do. Understanding is why to do it. Sometimes the Bible will tell you what to do, and that's all you need to know right now. You just need to know what to do. But then as you study it, as you lean into it, as you meditate, then all of a sudden you begin to realize, oh, that's why God told me to do that. So it says, find wisdom and then keep looking and gain understanding. Why? For her proceeds are better. Let me just stop there. It's interesting. This is one of the chapters in Proverbs where Solomon turns and he begins to position wisdom as a woman. Now, it's not. It's gender neutral. It's God. But he positions her wisdom as a woman. You think, why? Well, most scholars agree because this is how the Word of God, or this is how wisdom works. Wisdom is kind of like a woman. You treat her right, she'll treat you right. And there's actually principles in the book of wisdom that says that. Because you didn't listen to me when I cried out, when I made myself available to you at every turn. I tried to get you to understand, and because you kept ignoring it, now that you're experiencing the results of bad decisions, I'm going to take a half a step back. Not going to leave you. But you need to kind of understand this is what it means to live without wisdom. Okay, you had enough? Okay, let me reintroduce myself and let's try it again. And you'll see this throughout the proverb in one form or another. This is what it's trying to do. So it goes on, it says, we find wisdom, we gain understanding, because listen, her proceeds are better than the profits of silver. And her gain than fine gold. She's more precious than rubies. And listen to this statement. And all the things that you may desire cannot compare with her. So here's what this is telling you. It's telling you that the Word of God, the wisdom that comes, the understanding that comes from the Word of God is quite literally more important than anything else you have on your schedule. Anything else you could put on your schedule. And you say, well, but that's kind of a big statement because we got things to do. We have responsibilities. And look, Solomon's going to tell you why. He's going to say, this is why wisdom, the Word of God, is more important and more precious, because wisdom comes with two hands. And in each of those hands, she brings a gift. Look at this, verse 16. Length of days is in her right hand. The right hand in the Bible is always the most important. Who cares how much money you have if you can't enjoy it? Who cares how much abundance and a great life you're experiencing if you can't enjoy it? But he says the most important thing is your health. And he says, and length of days, wisdom brings you length of days. Again, not just long life, not just literally living a long time, but that healthy, that abundant, that vibrant life, that healing when and where necessary. Wisdom brings that to you. Understanding brings that to you. Look at this, it goes on. And in her left hand, riches and honor. Riches and honor. The Word brings that. So many Christians are out looking for health and looking for wisdom and honor when they should be looking to the Word, and the Word will show them how to get and where to find, and will bring wisdom, will bring long life, and will bring riches and honor right to them. Jesus said the same thing, Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things will just come flow into your life. So he goes on, he says, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all of her paths are peace. She's a tree of life, look, not to everyone, but to those who take hold of her. And happy are all those who retain her. Now, we could go on and on and on. I mean, I'm just telling you, the Bible's loaded with passages that say the same kind of thing. God wants you to live an abundant life, more abundant than you possibly think. He wants you to live a great quality life. He wants you to live a long time on the earth so you can fulfill the plan that he has for you. All these things are wonderful things that we want, and God wants them too. But he consistently, every single time, ties them back to your willingness or your not being willing to pursue the Word of God, to pursue the wisdom of God. Here's the big question. Why? Why is he such a stickler with that? Why is that so important? I'm going to give you three reasons this morning that the Word of God is required. It's like God's security system. It's required for you to experience his best. And I'm going to give you the three reasons right now, just one, two, three in a row. And then we're going to back up, and I'm going to show you how they unfold in the Bible. And I can promise for some of you, you'll never read your Bible the same. Never, ever see your Bible the same. All of a sudden, this will make sense. You're like, wow, I get that now. Because it's a roadmap, not just to life, but to an abundant life. To accessing what already belongs to you, rather than hoping and waiting and begging for God to do something, you realize, oh, he already did. This is mine. I've just got to go step in and access it, all right? Now, here's the three things if you'd like to take notes. Number one, God's Word gives you perspective. God's Word gives you perspective. Number two, God's Word gives you principles. God's Word gives you principles. Number three, God's Word gives you permission. God's Word gives you permission. Now, if you didn't get those, don't worry. We're going to read them back because we're going to go through each one of them quickly. But here's the reason in one broad nutshell, and every one of you will understand this. Here's the reason why God requires the Word of God to bring these three things. Because listen to me, we talked about such extravagant abundance. We talked about these great and these precious promises that will enable you to step into a divine nature and escape all of the twisted culture and the things that are happening through men's lusts and greed and self-centeredness. It'll let you escape all that and live the way that God wants you to live. However, here's the principle. With great privilege comes great responsibility. Right? With great privilege comes great responsibility. Every good parent knows that. And God, our Heavenly Father, is the best parent ever. And He knows that without His perspective, without His principles, and without His permission, life to the full that He's given so freely, although it was meant to be this incredible, I mean this, you know, out of this world blessing for you, will be a destruction for you. It'll hurt you even though it was meant to bless you. Let me give you one scripture. There's a bunch of them in the Bible, but for time's sake, you can write this one down. 1 Timothy 6, verse 10 says this, "For the love of money," stop, not money, not money, the love of money. God has no problem with money. In fact, He's going to line the streets with gold. He's so opulent. He's so extravagant. When we get up there, we're going to be like, what? What? What would you think if one of your neighbors just paved their driveway with gold? Put the wrought iron fence, just lined it with jewels all the way around. You'd think, what in the world? What kind of arrogance? What kind of wastefulness? God lines the asphalt in heaven as gold. He's got no problem with money. Money's not an issue. Never has been, never will be in the Bible. But it says, the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil because, listen to this, which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. There's a scripture that says the blessings of the Lord will make a man rich, but here's the best part of that promise, and add no sorrow to it. Boy, I know a lot of people that I've watched them start from the dirt and work their way up, and they are doing well. I mean, they are just accomplishing goals and achievements. They built companies. They are rich, rich, rich. Oh, but they lost their family. But they lost their health. But they've still got everything. They're holding it all together. But they are so miserable, so hollow on the inside. The blessings of the Lord will never do that to you. Never, ever, 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 ever. No sorrow added to it. Comes with peace, comes with joy, comes with fulfillment. But it requires that you understand the Word of God. So he wants to establish this first. All right, so here we go. The first thing that God does, he's such a great father that he gives us abundance, he gives all these privileges and these promises, but the first thing that he did that we see is he establishes biblical laws and commandments. Now, some of you are going to need to just stay with me. Let me get a couple of points into this thing, and I'll back up and address some concerns that some of you might have, all right? But don't tune me out. Go with me long enough for me to explain something, okay? So God establishes biblical laws and commandments. Let me tell you what those are. Those are lines or boundaries in Scripture that are really, really clear because you need to see God's perspective. There's the connection. God's perspective of what He calls life to the full. You need to learn what He calls life to the full. Now, Ephesians 3:20 says, if you'll let His perspective, His definition of life to the full unfold, here's what you'll find. It's far exceeding, way more abundant than you ever asked or thought. So don't worry about, well, if I do that, God's going to downsize it. Not possible. Not possible. He's got a picture in mind that He wants you to move towards that is way more than you ever thought that He would do. But the first thing He does, He establishes biblical laws and principles. Now, let me give you an example so we can kind of wrap our head around it real quick. God wants you to prosper, but in Exodus 20, verse 15, this is part of the Ten Commandments, he lists in there, thou shalt not steal. Because He wants you to understand, here's my boundary. I want you to prosper. I want you to be blessed, but you can never steal to get blessed. You can never steal to get ahead. You can never steal. You never take what doesn't belong to you. You can never do that. That is not your pathway towards prosperity. And so that's what we mean when we say God's word gives you perspective. God showing you where his boundaries are. This is what I mean when I talk about life to the full. Okay, pretty simple. You with me so far? Not hard to understand, right? Okay, so all we see 10 of those in the Old Testament and a whole bunch of other laws wrapped around them, which we'll talk about in a minute. Jesus in the New Testament boils all 10 of them down to these two. Love God with all your heart, love each other. You can pull those two off, you got the 10 wired. That's all it is. And it's showing the perspective. How do we live with such incredible privilege, incredible promise, but we do it with a sensitivity that we're honoring to God and we're honoring to each other? These are biblical laws. Now, once he establishes his biblical laws, then God gives biblical principles. Now, these are important because principles take the biblical law or the boundary or the perspective and extends it out into different contexts so that you can see how to practice. Oh, this is how I should live that out. Let me give you an example, okay? We already established Exodus 20, thou shalt not steal. But Proverbs 11:1 says, dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. In other words, he's saying when it comes to your business contracts and your business dealings, you know, it's okay to be a shrewd business person. But if you're cheating the system, if you're somehow shaving this so close, hoping the other person doesn't notice so you can come out on top and you're like, ha, I got you there. See, I'm the shrewder businessman. He says, no, dishonesty in business is a form of stealing. Don't do it. If you do, God can't bless you. Don't do it. Don't do it. Let me give you another one that's New Testament because some of you are still thinking, yeah, we're in Old Testament, New Testament. Ephesians 4:28. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, not dishonest stuff, so that he may have something to give him who has need. So here this is showing us that stealing is not just taking what doesn't belong to you, but stealing is also selfishly, callously, insensitively withholding what does belong to you when you can bless somebody else. That's a form of stealing. Because the great commandment, right? The two is love God with all your heart, with all your life, and love others like you love yourself. So the principle is that's a form of stealing. Listen to me. That's what we mean when we say, number two, God's word gives you principles. We could say best practices, kingdom practices. And this is how you live your life, because if you'll do this, then God's free because you're maturing, you're handling it right. So all this abundance, all this extravagant, of course he can freely give it to you because you're in the boundaries and you're very sensitive to the principles. You're living out the best practices as best you know how. Now, let me just pause. I got one more, but let me just pause. Right about here is where some Christians start objecting. Pastor, PG, listen. The New Testament says we're no longer under the law. And I want to tell you right away that is absolutely true. But that doesn't mean that as Christians we are exempt from the law. This is really important. We're not exempt from the law. It means that we're no longer under the Old Testament obligation to try and earn our salvation or earn our righteousness through obedience. That's already been settled by Jesus. We're not under that law anymore. But let me go back to the stealing example. Exodus 20:15 says, thou shalt not steal. That's a biblical law. God put it into place. It's not ever going to change. And as New Testament Christians who've been made righteous by the blood of Jesus, who've been given the abundance of grace already freely been given to us in the past, a settled issue, we are still obligated to honor that biblical law because stealing is still wrong. I mean, stealing will always be wrong. Because that's God's boundary. And so we're obligated to obey that, not to try to get salvation, but we're obligated to obey it because we are saved. And we're now a representative of this great king. Does that make sense? Okay, so we have to understand that so that we don't get all tangled up because there's teaching out there, and don't discount it. It's great teaching. That's really pushing the boundaries of God's grace and helping us to see this abundance and this righteousness in a way that we haven't seen it before. And so don't stop studying that, but recognize it falls short of disqualifying our obedience. No, our obedience is still really important. Okay? All right. Now, having said that, once you're inside of the boundaries of God's parameters, you understand and you've got his perspective on any subject, and you're doing your best to live out the principles as it extended there, then the Bible says, then you are free in Christ to experience, to access, to engage, to go and make a withdrawal, a pull from any and all of God's abundant provision, including health and wealth and relationship and wisdom, anything you need, you're free, provided that you're inside the parameters and you're recognizing and living out the principles to the best of your ability. However, the New Testament gives us two guidelines in our freedom, and they're easy to understand. The first one is, what's the Holy Spirit saying and doing in your life right now? What's the Holy Spirit saying and doing in your life right now? Number two is, what's happening and how is your decision going to impact those people that are around you right now? You have to be sensitive to those. So let me give you a scripture example for that. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23 says this, all things are lawful for me. This is Paul talking. All things are lawful for me. Again, the assumption is I'm inside the boundaries, I understand the principles, and therefore I'm free. I'm completely free in Jesus. I don't have to earn my salvation. I don't have to try to get God's favor. I have God's favor. It says, all things are lawful for me, but, listen, not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify or build up. Let no one seek his own, but each one the others as well. In other words, it's that law, right? I love God with all my heart. I'm being sensitive. I'm free to do anything in Jesus because I'm inside of his parameters, inside the principles. But I want to be sensitive now because not everything that I'm free to do is what I should do right now. Not everything that I'm free to do is going to build my life up or build the lives of those around. What I should be doing is recognizing my freedom, thanking the Lord for that, but I should be leaning in and thinking about how's this going to affect me, how's this going to affect others around me, and letting the Holy Spirit coach me. In fact, if we go a few verses, verse 31 says, therefore, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. All to the glory of God. Okay, so you understand now God's perspective, God's principles, and that leads to you being able to experience God's provision. And when you begin to understand how those layer, nothing will interrupt your confidence ever again. Nothing will put condemnation. Nothing will put guilt on you. You can make clean decisions and be confident and feel the confirmation of the Holy Spirit. In fact, Romans chapter 8 says, as you mature in this, the Holy Spirit will confirm to you. Yeah, you're a child of God. You can do that. Yeah. Yeah, that belongs to you. Yeah, you should. Absolutely. Yeah, you should lean into that. He'll confirm that in your spirit, and faith begins to accelerate and begins to rise. This is literally how the Christian life works. Now, I'm going to wrap up with one more passage of scripture. We're just going to read it through, okay? Remember I showed you in Proverbs chapter 3 that the word of God, the wisdom of God, the understanding comes with two hands. And in each of those hands, she brings gifts. She wants to give them to you. They're abundant gifts, more than you ever thought. Way above what's normal, what's standard. These are extravagant, opulent gifts that she wants to bring to you. But Proverbs 4, if we kept reading, it goes on and tells us a couple things. We'll pick up next week, but I want to show you one thing. I'm going to read back at verse 20 just for context, and I'm going to keep on reading, and I'll highlight one verse. Listen to this. So we're back to that. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Why? Because they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep reading verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it, your heart, springs the issues of your whole life. Not out of your checkbook, not out of your job, not out of, you know, what the company says you can or can't do, not out of the limitations of the culture. Out of your heart springs the issue, springs the flow that will bring life to the full to every area of your life. Notice this, verse 24. So put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Here's what I want you to hear. Listen carefully. Do not turn to the right or to the left. See, that's not just saying, hey, by the way, there's a ditch on either side. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to long life. Don't pursue that. Don't make that the number one thing that knocks the word of God out of your schedule, because we just understand, I got to work out, I got to be eating right, I got to be on the move because, you know, or I got to experience life. You know, it's a short life. We only live for so long. We got to cram all this stuff in, not at the expense of the word of God, ever. It's more precious than everything else. And don't turn to the left. Riches, riches, riches. Pastor, you just don't understand. I got to get this job thing going. Hey, I've had people that have moved, that have come and said, listen, Pastor, we love this church. Our family's growing, and we're doing so well. But we got a better job opportunity, and we're going to go for it. Sometimes I get to be their pastor. Sometimes they say, what do you think about that? Most of the time, they don't. Most of the time, they just say, and we just want to let you know because we love you so much, and we love the church, and we just want hope you'll pray for us and bless us. But sometimes they're turning to the left. Sometimes they let me be their pastor. Sometimes they let me be their pastor, and I say, man, you're right on. God's leading you. You need to follow that. I bless you in this. I'm excited for you. The peace of God's there. I believe you're tracking with the Lord. But there's other times when I know in my spirit it just jumps up. You're making a huge mistake. And this one's going to cost you dearly. In fact, one time I stepped out beyond what I normally do, and I pastorally butted in where I wasn't invited. And I told them, listen to me, everything in my spirit says you are making a mistake. I'm not trying to keep you here, but I'm telling you, if you pursue this, you're going to get all the stuff you want, but it's going to cost you more than you're willing to pay. I said, I'm really nervous for you inside. We appreciate that, Pastor. We'll think about that. Of course, they didn't. They moved, and it wasn't a short time later. Their marriage dissolved. Their kids are no longer serving the Lord. They lost the business. They lost the investments. Everything, they're down to ground zero again. And of course, they called me. And I told them, absolutely, God's mercy endures forever. But I wish you to listen. Not to me. I wish you to listen to the word of God. Nothing's more precious than this. But if you'll trust God's word, I'm telling you, it comes with everything you want. But do it God's way, with his perspective, with his principles. And make sure you have the Holy Spirit's permission to do that. And if you do that, I'm telling you, God will bless you abundantly. Let me pray for you this morning. Father, we thank you for the word of God in our life. And I'm praying, Holy Spirit, that in this season of newness, the season of springs in the desert, of roads and pathways in the wilderness, Lord, I'm praying in Jesus' name that you would open our eyes to the reality, to the preciousness, to the importance of God's word like we've never seen it before. Lord, if there's anybody here who has never accepted you, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would lean in with such grace, such mercy, such goodness this morning, that they cannot walk out without making a decision to have Jesus be their Savior. Lord, for those that are here this morning and the words of God are sharpening them, the words of God are even cutting into areas of their thought process and their decisions, Lord, I pray that you would surround that with love and surround that with your gentle words and your gentle grace. Speak the truth to them, wrapped in the love of God. Let them know that you have their best in mind, that you have a wonderful plan for them. But Lord, I pray that you would woo them, you would entice them, you would pull them back to making you first place in their life. Lord, as we do collectively and individually, we know you're faithful to your word. We believe you'll do everything you said, and we thank you in advance for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Would you stand up on your feet this morning while you...
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. For more information, check us out on the web at lakeshorecf.com.